Hey, you wanna get high, man?
That shit makes you high.
Get up, Chucky! What have we got here? Fucking comedian.
Rojan Kim.
Hello, and welcome to the Rojan Kibcast. It's me, Rojan Kim. Thank you so much for joining me here today, tonight, whatever time of day it is. Thank you so much for joining me. That was not a smooth fade that I did. I'm doing this manually. I'm doing it live. It's live. No, it's not live, but if you want to catch me live, you can catch me streaming sometime later this week. All right, you know what I need to do is come up with some kind of schedule. Maybe that'll make it easier to tell people what's going on. But in the end, I am a crazy person, so maybe none of this really matters. You know? I'm just like, yabba-dabba-doo. Yeah, yabba-dabba-doo indeed. And shout out to the gang gang, TEM crew, Triple Elite Memes, okay? I want you, if you are on X, formerly Twitter, to go to @triple_elite. Go to Triple Elite Memes, follow it to find spicy content like this pinned tweet from September 1st, 2022, that doesn't exist, okay? For content like that, go to Triple_Elite on Twitter, formerly X. No, X formerly Twitter. Okay. And all right, well, here's another example. Here's a tweet from January 4th from the Triple Elite Media account. Okay. So you can also follow Triple Elite Media @TripleEliteMedia. Listen, I think Triple Elite Media was taken. So in order to find it, you have to, if you're just going by the handle, but otherwise just look up Triple Elite Media on Twitter, okay, where you will get sweet content like this. it says, an anonymous source embedded within the anti-Temites just leaked this organizational chart of TEM. Our source has revealed this chart was part of a plan to take down TEM. We are currently in phase 2, and that phase 3 will be the Hiroshima meme wars. Well, too bad anti-Temites can't meme, and that's sort of the whole theme here. Well, look at this. This isn't even right. Like, I can't believe that it's hashtags at the top. You know, this is, all right, this is just, anyways, for great inside baseball stuff like this, just go to the Triple Elite Media page, go to the Triple Elite page, follow everybody that you see who's a TEM member. Try to figure out who the TEM members are, who are everywhere. And then, you know, join our cult, right? It's a cult. Join it or don't join it. I mean, you may or may not be a member for all you know. You might actually be a member of TEM right now and have no idea that you are. That's how mysterious and elusive this whole thing is. You know, very esoteric, cult-like behavior, right? To not even know if you're in the cult. You have no idea if you're in the cult or not. You can't even leave. You can't leave the cult. Because you don't even know if you're in it. In fact, the only way to join it could be to leave it in the first place. So by leaving it, you've actually joined it. Right? Like by leaving the group TEM, you've actually joined the cult TEM. There's two of them. People don't know this. You know, it's like a Gnostic or something. I don't know. Manichaean, I think they call it. Manichaean, where they believe that there's like two forces of equal strength and power, good and evil, right? Not like the normal and based Christian cosmology where there's obviously just one God, right? But no. Manichaeans believe there's like two gods, one that is good, one that is evil. And that's kind of like what TEM is. A cult for a false god. All right. That's ridiculous. So what's going to happen is that's going to be taken out of context, what I just said there. TEM is a cult for false gods, and then taken seriously, put everywhere, and then people will believe that TEM is a cult for false gods. I did it again. I said it again, and now they can use that clip. I hope that was clean. Was that clean? Should I do one more? Let me just do one more. Maybe I'll put a little a little oomph into, you know, I'll be like, TEM is a cult for false gods. I don't know, something like that. And I hope that was clean enough. Use that and, you know, you can use it for whatever creative thing you want. I mean, look, I want to just breeze through this. I don't want to take too much time on this, all right? But I just want to, I want you to just look at the exchange I had with this guy, Raybon, who used to be a homie, but you'll just notice it's just like walls of text on one side and then memes on the other. And this is what this exchange, this is what it's been all about. It's been fucking crazy. Crazy. Before that, we were like buddies. We were talking about miners and shit. It was fucking, you know. But anyway, he's going to be like, you doxed my DMs
of my rambling crazy talk to everybody. How dare you dox my DMs.
I guess what has kind of happened is through the shenanigans of just a gang of internet guys, mostly middle-aged. I mean, just some guys, fathers and shit. You know, just guys, normal guys having fun. We've created these like Batman villains. We've created these people who are spending an immense amount of time and energy, and quite frankly, providing some good content. I mean, at least even to react to. Not necessarily themselves. Their content kind of blows, but the content that comes out of the inspiration from the attack is great. I mean, that's what this is all about for me. Laughs. I'm getting lots of laughs. I guess I'm not making friends. I mean, I have the friends I've made, but then not making new friends. But that's, I don't know, that's par for the course. I'm 45 years old, and my entire life, ever since I was a kid, it's been the same thing. I've been a fucking smartass, and people have either liked me or hated me, okay? You fucking hate me? Take a number. My life has been threatened since middle school, okay? Like, seriously threatened, elaborate plans from people about what they'll do in the future if they ever find me alone, and they're going to have a concealed carry weapon license and this and that. You know what I mean? Like, really intricate. I've driven some people crazy, and that's, you know, I guess it's a miracle I'm still alive. But I don't know. Is it really worth the effort? I mean, if so, you know, kudos to you. You did something with your life. Anyway, I wanted to talk about this breaking news that came out. Here it is. Let's just watch this. That was Brendan Schaub attempting a donut in his truck and flipping over on camera. I mean, see? This is the kind of content. This is the kind of content the internet craves, right? I would think that, you know, Brendan Schaub, his whole career, from the UFC Ultimate Fighter to the UFC, to getting on Joe Rogan, to Joe Rogan telling him to stop fighting and helping him out with comedy, and then comedy being a thing for him, and him having Poppy Gringo, and all that stuff, Fighter and the Kid, all this stuff is leading to this moment. A 56-minute video, no, 56-second video of him flipping his car over while he's inside of it. And he's fine, but I think it was all worth it in a way for that, right? It was all worth it to me. I feel like I didn't watch his special, so I don't feel like I've suffered any harm. I've had to listen to him on podcasts, so I guess it's something. I could chalk that up to some amount of harm, right? From his presence, but not really. But this is bringing me joy. It's just funny. It's a funny thing to watch a man try to do a donut in his truck. And he's a rich man, and he flips his truck over. He's also, you know, a cocky guy. Anyway. Okay. I think we should have dash cams, but we should also have reverse dash cams. Like, everybody should have a camera. Look, we're all being surveilled, so why not just have cameras pointing outward and inward, right? And that way, the capacity for content is huge. Think of all the accidents, all the ridiculous, just like retarded things people do on the road, and having that captured. How about stream it? Stream it all live, 24/7, just streams going of people in cars, and somebody's just going to curate all the idiots. They're going to curate all the idiots and have a, that'll be great. I think that would be great. Speaking of great content or comedy in general, Shane Gillis was on SNL, right? I've openly defended Shane Gillis many times. Back when I was on Facebook is one of the reasons I left Facebook, I think. I got into all these wars with people over him being racist and me being like, no, it's not racist. And it's over most of the time it would be like a white guy versus me. Look at me being like, I know, I watched the fucking thing. Okay, I watched this. I was listening to his podcast, right? Back before people knew who he was or whatever, and heard that episode where he called Andrew Yang a Jew chink, and he didn't call him a Jew chink. He just said the word Jew chink, playing a character. But you take that out of context, and you can destroy somebody with it, right? Like he wasn't per se destroyed, but if you listen to him talk about it, I mean, he was famous in a way he did not want to be, right, for a while, and that's got to suck. Right, and just for what, right? And he was really on the cusp of making it, right? Making it as a comedian or whatever, just being able to make the dough and fucking support yourself or whatever, just finally have all this shit pay off, suddenly just taken away from him. And that sucks, right? But the thing about, I think, the culture at the time, cancel culture, as it were. Cancel culture is sort of like a shark just like roaming around, but it's the sea that it roams around in is mainstream entertainment. You know, SNL, the big networks, the movie studios, the big, you know, the things the corporations own. They're like, that's where they're like, they're these sharks just going around, and they don't like you. If you've been kind of marked as a guy with wrong think and you end up getting something that they want, the sharks are going to come. Right? Sharks are going to come in a feeding frenzy and make sure you don't get whatever it is they want. And I think a lot of it is a jealousy. I think a lot of these people are not funny. Okay? Like, let's just, I think creative in general, not creative at all, but let's narrow it down to funny, right? Shane Gillis is funny. Like, despite him being canceled, he was undeniably funny and got funnier, and comedians supported him, and he had an avenue to show that he was a funny guy. And then fucking now look, now he's fucking a spokesperson for Bud Light after the disaster they had with Dylan Mulvaney, the tranny business. It was a weird tranny. It was really weird. Bud Light kind of like was like, I'm feeling like I'm a lady, and then went like trans, and then everybody was like, boo. And it was like, okay, I'm detransitioning back to a dude. I'm fucking dude, bro. I'm a dude who says that's gay and that's retarded. Like, I'm fucking, that's gay. Bro, I was a tranny. I was a tranny months ago. It's fucking gay, bro. Why would I do that? Why would I be so retarded? So that's right. You just kind of did a 180. Or 360, I guess. I guess, I don't know. Anyway, it just shows that cancel culture is dead. It's dead. I mean, I don't think it's fully dead. Maybe it's dying. It's not dead yet, you know? But I think it's dying, and I think Shane Gillis being on SNL is a big sign of that. I wanted to read some of this article from Seth Simons, the guy who played a big part in getting out that clip of Shane saying Jew chink and, you know, it's like gloating over it and writing articles about it, about the right wing problem in comedy and all this stuff. And it's just like, now he wrote a second article before Shane Gillis was going out on SNL about how Shane let these friends on who have questionable views about the Holocaust and are Holocaust deniers, and why would he let them on his podcast without actually having those thoughts himself? And it's just like, shut up. Who gives a fuck? I mean, how irrelevant are you at this moment. Anyways, you got Shane Gillis on SNL. His monologue, I thought, was fine. It was great. It was fine. I think it was great because he was able to recognize in the moment that maybe he's not doing so well, and then puts the crowd at ease by calling it out, right? And to do that on the fly in live television and have it land, that's great. He's a good comic, right? And then, you know, he did his jokes. You know, part of me is disappointed that he didn't talk about the J tunnels. What's up with the J's in the tunnels? You know, like, yeah, and he could have, but, you know, it also was like, you got to be smart, right? He's fucking, you know, he's not like Norm. He's not going to go up there and be like, fuck you, Norm. Fuck you, Lorne Michaels. Like, fuck you. Fuck you, Bo and Yang. Eat this. Eat this white dick, Bo and Yang. I'm back, bitch. Cancel culture is over, right? It's fucking over. You're fucking, all right. You're gay, bro. You're gay. I think that is the victory. You know, I think I saw someone tweet this. It's like the victory was really, you know, you got a bro up there on SNL saying gay and retard. Okay, we're taking it back. It's like there's a war. It's a culture war, okay? And cancel culture was like winning, like just fucking, just making strides. But then, you know, the fucking, the other side, the base side, the base side comes, just pushes back, bro. And we're like, we're taking back gay and retard. We're taking back gay and retard. We're pushing the line this way. You know, it's a war, man. So the battle was won. The battle for gay and retard was won, okay, by the based non-woke side. I don't know. The whole thing is, okay, let's get rid of, I don't know. Should we watch Brendan Schaub flip over again? All right, here we go. It's so fast. Happens so fast and slowly is part of what's funny about it. You know, it's, anyway. Anyways, speaking of slow motion, but not funny, I think one of the most disturbing things about SNL was not Shane Gillis's appearance, okay, as an Asian person. All right, but it was this cold open, which is supposed to be the best sketch, right? The cold open is supposed to be the best sketch of any sketch show because you're trying to hook people in, And your second best one is at the end, right? You want to close strong. Well, not on SNL, but ideally in a structured format, you want your opener to be strong, right? Your strongest fucking punch, and then, you know, you keep your last, keep one in your back pocket, right, for the end. Good punch in the end. Anyways, here, let me play this for as long as I can possibly stand.
Senator Risch, mind if I join you?
Senator Rubio, of course, have a seat.
Thank you.
Guess we better toast to President Trump. That was a big victory tonight. 21 points.
There was never any doubt. I guess Trump owns the Republican Party now.
Yeah. I gotta admit, though, sometimes I do not know what my party is doing. I mean, I've been pushing for Ukraine funding for the past 6 months. It's essential to American security. And Trump just killed it with one phone call. The man doesn't care about this country one iota.
Wow, he doesn't care about the country because, I know this is a comedy, maybe that was the joke, but sending money to Ukraine to protect America. Uh-huh, okay, by sending Americans over there to die.
Sometimes I think he's downright dangerous.
Mm. And you just endorsed him, right?
Yeah, big time, big time. I mean, he's great.
That wasn't the joke.
Yeah, he is incredible.
Mm-hmm.
The joke wasn't that, oh, he wants to send all this money overseas to protect us, okay, to start some world war to protect us. That wasn't the joke. The joke is that, oh, but you're supporting him anyway. And so the setup is that this is a real danger, and the punchline is that, oh, I'm supporting him anyway. Not that the punchline is that it's a lie that they're sending money overseas to the Ukraine to protect you. This is a comedy show. Speaking truth to power, as comedy does. All right.
Now, Trump gave you the name Little Marco, right?
Yeah. Mm. I've never been able to shake it. People still yell it at me in airports. He kind of made my life hell.
And you endorsed him, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Big time. That guy's just the best.
Oh, the best. The best. Right? He's amazing.
Amazing.
South Carolina in the house. Uh-oh. All
right, so there you see the game, as they would call it in the UCB, or just the structure of the sketch, right? The joke is say something bad about Trump, but then you endorsed him, right? Yeah, hell yeah, because this is Trump's victory. So this is like this imaginary future, I guess a dark dystopian future where Trump has won again. And this is a comedy show. And the Republican senators have gathered together to express their remorse, but at the same time, their hypocrisy. Jeez. Wow. Hilarious, guys.
Well, Senator Graham, Senator Scott, get in here, join us, get your butts in here.
With pleasure.
Y'all talking about Trump.
Mm-hmm.
You know we are. Yes, sir.
Oh, hey, Tim, I saw you with Trump on that Laura Ingraham town hall last week. Mm-hmm. Kind of rough, right? Mm-hmm. You were sitting right there, and he said to the crowd that you've been a much better candidate for him than you ever were for yourself.
Yeah, he's so funny.
He's hilarious. Super funny.
And then a couple weeks ago, he made you stand in front of a crowd and say you hate Nikki Haley. And isn't she the one who appointed you to the Senate?
I mean, no, come on. He didn't make me say that I hate her. He said you must really hate her, you know. But y'all saw what I did, right? Yeah. I stepped right up to the mic and I said, no, I just love you.
Wow. You showed him. Very cool.
Right. So what this actually is like a recap of something that happened in real life and their critique of it, but using comedy. I'm 2 minutes into the sketch. I mean, I can't. This is literally it for the next 3 minutes, 3.5 minutes of this. More minutes. 5 minutes, 40 seconds. 5 minutes, 39 seconds of the same. The joke is Trump's bad, but you support him, right? Yeah, he's bad. Yeah, and then Shane Gillis, which is, I don't know, I just think that's interesting. That's funny. I feel like there's like these, it's like a subconscious, are there subconscious digs going on? Am I reading too much into this terrible sketch that they put at the beginning of the Shane Gillis episode? This admission of defeat, right? This weird defeat. It's like, wow, Shane Gillis, he really did say Jew chink about Andrew Yang, huh? Yeah. But then you laughed when he came on the show. I sure did. Yeah. Like, I mean, it's like some kind of implication, right? There's like this implication in there, a defeat, but sort of, but they're also acknowledging that there's, you know, something wrong with the right wing, or Trump is bad, or, you know. It's so stupid. It's so fucking gay. Like, why does politics have to be in comedy anymore at all? I mean, The Daily Show did it, but then it did too much to the point where all of it is politics. They did like Hillary Clinton's in Broad City or something. You know, just random. It doesn't even, why? Why would the political establishment have anything to do with comedy? Especially the idea of comedians as jesters, right? Making fun of those in power, especially politicians who lie and feed you bullshit. Why would you be on the side of them, helping them feed bullshit to the masses by using levity, you jokes and levity? And really what ends up happening is it's just not very funny, right? It becomes more like shit like this, where it's political commentary with like a it's like kind of like a dry because there's supposed to be this intellect to it, and this kind of, I'm looking down at the people who think this way, you know, how could they think this, it's snooty, it's like snooty mockery, that's what it is, like being a snob, just like looking down on people. I don't know, I think it's not funny. It's like the worst. This should have been one of the skits. You know what they cut instead of this? The Limu Emu, which I should have pulled that up, but it's just one of the sketches they did with Shane, where it was like Liberty Mutual, I guess, paid for it because it says Liberty Mutual, so it's a Limu, and then there's an emu, and then the emu is like a degenerate, dirty cop, and Shane Gillis is like his partner, and he's like, oh no, you know, like it's funny. I mean, it's funny enough, and they cut that, but they left this. I really wanted you to know. what a bleak future it would be when the left has to capitulate to the right, which is just also it's fucking, I know it's election year, so it's going to be a big deal. Oh, left versus right, right? Oh, here's a tweet by Shane Gillis. He says, I didn't bomb and I didn't crush the libs, and the lady in the band not laughing is totally fine. Knock it off. That's and then, of course, it says fake. This is gay. So it's probably fake and gay, which things are on the internet. Okay. Things are. Okay. Speaking of fake and gay, Bitcoin is at $57,148 as of this moment, okay? As of this, look at this. This is a candle. This is a candle here. Look at that. Boom. I like indicators. I like looking at the funny lines and the indicator. Do I trade? No, I don't have money to trade, but I like looking at the indicators and the lines. And look at this. Look at this fucking blah. So anyway, Bitcoin's pumping, all these little things are like, it's like economic data, and every time there's economic data, there's always some kind of reaction from the market or whatever. So it's going up, guys. Great, we're back. We're so back where everybody's like, laser eyes are back on, bull market. Everybody's doing 100 push-ups. We're taking this shit. We're taking over. We're taking it. Of course, there's never been an all-time high before the halving. All that stuff. Halving's coming next month. We'll see. I don't know. Market is as the market does. And now look, Fidelity is now recommending a 1-3% crypto allocation in your portfolio, says Will Clemente the Third, child genius, economist and trader. So Fidelity, one of the largest financial corporations, says own 1-3%. Of your portfolio in crypto. And they're not saying Bitcoin, though, which is interesting because Fidelity is one of the earliest Bitcoin miners. I think they were mining since like 2014. So they've been in on this. They know about what this is. They know what this game is. And they're still telling their customers to invest in crypto. Gotta make you think, huh? Makes you wonder. Speaking of crypto, this was an appearance by Brother Nathaniel on Nick Fuentes' stream. I could get banned, I guess, for playing this. We'll see if I get, this is the first time I get banned because I play something from Nick Fuentes. But this is Bitcoin related. Anyways, here, let me play this clip here.
Somebody says, what do you think about cryptocurrency as a chance to evade the central banks? It's like Bitcoin.
Yeah, Larry Fink already bought a big piece of it. But there are still many cryptocurrencies available that Larry Fink doesn't control. Mm. So, yes, if you can invest in it, you can buy it. Do it. Definitely. That's my answer.
Okay. Well, Brother Nathaniel is also telling you to buy crypto, not Bitcoin, because Bitcoin has been captured by BlackRock, which is Larry Fink, which is the Jews. I don't know. I mean, some people are saying that, you know, that's why it's captured by the NSA. It's captured by, I don't know. I mean, the Jews is so funny to me because I grew up with a bunch of them. So to think of my friends growing up as running Bitcoin or the world economy is actually pretty hilarious to me. That fucking, you know what I mean? Like that my friend Jeremy, who flipped a Grand Cherokee over with seven of us in it and fucking... You know what I mean? And he's captured. But Larry Fink, let's just stick to, you know, specifics for a second. And it's weird, right? You got Fidelity here being like, oh, get some crypto. You got Brother Nathaniel here saying, get some crypto because Larry Fink's got it. Does BlackRock have the Bitcoin? Are they going to? I mean, I think if Bitcoin is the asset that it is, then of course you want to control it. You want to do everything you can to manipulate it, try to get as much of it as you can. Basically get as much of it as you can and then dole it out in paper. Like you get to keep the real stuff and then you just dole out paper and then you create this whole derivative market and you create just a lot of just paper Bitcoin, or just basically what they did with gold. Just do what they did to Bitcoin with gold, except Bitcoin, there's a finite amount. But anyway, it's been a crazy, crazy 2 months, almost the end of February. Look at this from at GarbageHuman23. So you had the Jew tunnels, right? Remember that? Jew tunnels came and went. Stat crazy tunnels. The under the synagogue, the Chabad in the Brooklyn, the place. What are nah, anyway? And they move on. And then remember this guy? Oh yeah, I made a meme, you know, with this. This was a very memeable image. The guy just fucking running for it and just going after that judge. Getting, I mean, I guess it might have been worth it. I don't know what happened to him after. This guy beheaded his father. I think that's probably the pieces of his dad there. I think we just blew past this one too. In fact, I barely know, but I remember hearing about this. This guy beheaded his dad on Facebook Live. It just kind of came and went. That's, you know, whatever. That's just news. And then there's this guy who burned himself alive. Oh man, I should have put a parental advisory. The guy who burned himself alive. I can't remember his name. Sorry, guy who burned yourself alive. He burned himself alive for Palestine, free Palestine, which, all right, I guess admirable cause. I mean, it's a cause. I personally think it's fucked up, you know, like Palestine's fucked up. I'm not on Israel's side on that conflict. I'm not sure if the burning yourself was the right way to do it. Let us never forget the extraordinary courage and commitment of Brother Aaron Bushnell, who died for truth and justice. I pray for his precious loved ones. Let us rededicate ourselves to genuine solidarity with Palestinians undergoing genocidal attacks in real time, says Cornel West, right? Professor, one of America's most provocative public intellectuals, a champion for truth, justice, and love, running as an independent candidate for president. Wow. Okay. All right. Cornel West, lefty, leftist guy. I'm sure he's a nice guy. I'm sure you'll like, it would be cool to smoke a dube with Cornel West, and he keeps calling me Brother Rogan, and I'm like, just stop it. I call you Brother Cornel. Oh my God. Can I play you this thing, Brother Nathaniel? Okay. All right. Anyway. And then, okay, here you go. Last words of Aaron Bushnell before he fired himself outside the Israeli embassy in Washington. Free Palestine. He's fucking free Palestine, motherfuckers. I'm lighting myself on fire, kind of like the monk did in Vietnam. I mean, that was his own country, and he was protesting the invasion of his own country by the Americans, and that got on American media. But this is, well, I guess this is similar. I mean, this is kind of like an American operation. Anyways, here we go. Breaking Hamas official statement on Aaron Bushnell. We in the Islamic I'm not going to read all this. They're like, he's awesome, bro. Thank you. And all of that. Final words, free Palestine, right? Fucking big props from Hamas to Aaron Bushnell for lighting himself on fire. And then of course you have the other side of people who are like making memes now. Of course, now that you've done that publicly, put it online, of course, there will be memes made about it. Oops. And so here we go. It's just, it's the meme of the guys, stick figure guys, you know, one guy's got gasoline, lighter lights himself on fire, and the group, one of the guys from the group gives him a big old thumbs up, like, whatever, buddy. And then he's like, well, shit, like, nobody cares. Okay, so I guess that's the sentiment. You got Hamas on one side who's like writing a huge block of text to let us know that you're a hero. You're a hero. And then there's cactus, antenna cactus. All right. Doomer motor transsexual female. Okay. All right. Saying, you know, not going to care. That's with it. All right. Here we go. Here's the other one. Did you hear about the soldier who self-immolated over the Palestine conflict? What an idiot. And then boom, there's two soldiers, and they get blown up and they get burned alive. Okay, and that's a comic from Stone Toss Comics. Stone Toss Comics unfortunately has NFTs, but whatever. We can't all be perfect. But this is kind of a callback to the thing I was saying about the SNL sketch, right? The beginning was about, like, you know, Trump stopped us from sending billions in aid to the billions in aid to the Ukraine. Right? Because he's not interested in protecting America, right? And then on the other hand, here you got, I'm assuming these are American troops getting burned alive by a missile after talking about, I mean, this is, what a bummer. But this is comedy. That was on SNL. This isn't me. Like, all right, here's Jawad Ehrahman. I am Jawad Ehrahman, he says in his bio. I love reading and writing. Pakistan first. I write about politics, defense, and security. No political affiliation. Please follow. Okay. Well, please follow Jawad. He says, rest in power, Aaron Bushnell. People pay tribute to American soldier Aaron Bushnell, who set himself on fire outside the Israeli embassy in Washington on Monday in the cause of the Palestinian freedom. Okay, so people are like, yay. I wonder if there's like Israelis making jokes about this, like menorah jokes about how he, and then he burned for 8 days. It was a miracle or something. I don't know. Is that too far? Too soon? Is that too soon about the guy who burned himself that everybody's making memes about, has been blown up all over Twitter? Am I the bad guy for saying that? Am I the bad guy for saying that they were probably making menorah jokes about the guy? That he burned longer than they thought he would? It was a miracle. I'll just keep repeating the joke, okay? All right. So here, Layla at Layla Lay Magdalene, possibly a transsexual female, said, rest in power is for black people, okay? I said okay. Black people have asked time and time again not to use this outside of the community, and every single time you do. Wow, they have? I didn't know that. I've never heard of black people going, hey, could you please not use the term rest in power, because that's only for us, okay? We got the N-word, and now we have black in power, okay? Wait, did I just say black in power? Rest in power. Black in power. We're black in power, everybody. We're black, and we're black in power. We're so black. All right. Rest in power is for black people, guys. You're not supposed to say rest in power, but Jawad said rest in power Aaron Bushnell, because Cornel West said we got to remember our brother. We got to remember Cornel West. Let us never forget the extraordinary courage and commitment of. And then she's like, no, rest in power is for black people. Okay. Anyways, let's check out Layla's profile here. Wow. Her pinned profile is her in a mask, and it says yesterday and today. She's like got this N95 mask on. And she's like flexing, like, I got a mask. It's 4 years after the pandemic that was fake and gay. And I got a mask on. Anyways, and then she's like, oh, she got her thing blew up because she said rest in power for black people. She got some engagement from that. She got some traction. So she's like, anyway, since y'all are here, COVID is still an ongoing, disabling, deadly pandemic. No, it's not. Please wear an N95/KF94. Oh, great. You got another one? You got another one? And if you need resources, please comment and I'll get them to you. No revolution if the state has already killed young. What? No revolution. Okay. There won't be a revolution unless you listen to the state-mandated health codes and health proclamations made by state officials and health bureaucrats in the state to keep us protected from this deadly disease that's not killing young people. That's not killing them at all. It's not killing young people. It's barely killing older people. It's definitely killing way old people who are way older than they should be, or are older than the average age of dying. And then it was killing people who were like super fat and unhealthy. And then it was killing people with like one lung. Okay. It was killing people who were on the brink of death. So it's almost as if they were going to die from something, and then something came along and then they died, like people do. Right. And of course, no, it's an ongoing, disabling, deadly pandemic. This is what's in her head. So this is the lady we're supposed to listen to about rest in power. That's who's the authority here. The lady who's wearing masks yesterday and today. She's wearing masks still after the mask doesn't even work. I'm noticing a lot of this mask stuff going on. Okay, so here's this other chick who she appears to be a white woman. Music alchemist, music arts-based social justice flowers, and a bunch of Jap stuff. Japanese loves Japanese. All right, well, popping in here to share that only three people were masked on full China East Air flight where I flew into Japan a week ago. At least 10 people in my cabin coughing their lungs out, including elderly China flag, China Cheney, chink. She wants to say it. See, that's the new. All right, anyways. Gentleman next to me who didn't block his mouth plus started spitting into a napkin. You mean an average Chinese person? Me, I wore an N95 the whole 8 hours and didn't get sick. The rest, I don't know. So me, I'm the good. I'm good. Me, I protected myself. Me, I'm good. I'm virtuous. I'm good. I don't care if these chinks get sick. Dirty chinks spitting and coughing all over the place. Have you ever been to a Chinese restaurant in China? Not like a nice one for tourists, but like in China, okay? They're fucking spitting on the ground. That's just what they do, right? You're in their world. I mean, I guess wearing a mask is their world too, so they're not going to think you're weird. They're probably going to be like, thank God that ugly white lady is wearing her mask. I mean, I don't know if you're ugly, but I think they're going to assume you are because you're wearing the mask, because they probably think that white people are vain. And why would, you know, if this woman was beautiful, why would she be wearing this mask? Obviously, she's ugly. Let's let her get away with it. You know, and that's probably what's going on. I don't know. I'm not Chinese, but I've been around them, and I can make things up having been around certain people. That's just something I can do. Okay. All right. So here's more masks. Dr. Lucky Tran, public health, climate justice, and science communication. Columbia, Cornell, Cambridge, Adelaide. Find me on other websites. No, I will not Lucky Tran. Is he trans? Is it Lucky Trans or just Lucky Tran? So Tran is a Vietnamese last name, but it's also trans. Actually, there's a comic who was named Robert Tran. I just dead named him, and now he became Robin Tran, and he got booked like a lot. I remember saying what's up to him on Reddit and stuff like way back in the day. Yeah, I was on Reddit. Well, there's stand-up shots. It was a different time when Ghislaine Maxwell was moderating our all or whatever the Anyways, then he became trans and he never called himself Robin Trans, which I don't understand. Anyway, Dr. Lucky Tran says, "It's surprising but fantastic to see a mainstream media outlet in 2024 recommending wearing N95 masks and guiding consumers on where to purchase them. This is the kind of content we need to normalize the wearing of masks in the long term. This is the kind of content we need," is the sentence of the ages, of the 21st century, okay? This is the kind, it's like after 9/11, you're like, this is the kind of content we need, right? To be every disaster we have, you're just like, this is the kind of content we need. N95 masks versus KN95 masks. Which face covering should we be wearing right now? Researchers say an N95 mask is still the most effective form of protection against COVID as new variants continue to linger. Yeah, you gotta get the mask. Listen, you gotta get this mask and seal your face, right? Your face. I mean, it's not airtight, so stuff will get in still. But the mask itself is supposed to be, oh, so the meshes, the microns or the N95 microns, you know, they're gonna stop. All viruses, any particulate matter, all viruses, they're going to be in the mask. They're going to go and get stopped by the mask, right? Where do they go after that? I think they stay in the mask. I think they stay in the mask where you're breathing in and out. So you're sort of breathing in and out through a filter filled with particulate matter and viruses, I guess. So if they filter viruses coming in, they'll also filter viruses and bacteria going out, which we also have. So we have bacteria, you know, being emitted from our bodies, getting trapped in the mask. And meanwhile, it's moist, right? It's a moist environment that allows microorganisms to replicate and grow. So they'll be replicating and growing in front of your face the whole time. I say this to mask people, and then they just look at me blankly, and they go, no, but it's, no, it's not like a crazy thing I'm saying, right? By the same logic of the thing working, it's also going to be a germ-filled rag in front of your face, right? Let's say it works. Let's say it's not a giant sieve where it's just going in and out and it's just kind of a security blanket for your face and a virtue signal thing like the blue MAGA hat or something, right? Like, let's just say it's not that and it actually works, okay? It's actually filtering microorganisms. That means they're being trapped in the filter, because if they're not, that means you're breathing them in. So they're being trapped in the filter. It's being trapped in the filter one way. They're probably being trapped in the filter the other way. I don't think it's a one-way filter, right? So you're breathing germs in and out, and they're all being trapped as the moisture of your breath creates an environment in the cloth that allows them to breed. And that's supposed to protect you. Like, look how smug she is. Look how much better she is. Look how she has this look of, like, I'm going to die. I'm dying right now, but I'm not dying. I'm in the middle of war. It's a war, right? Like, it's COVID is still an ongoing, disabling, deadly pandemic. It's still going on. That's like saying the cold. I mean, that's what the cold is, an ongoing, deadly pandemic. The cold's a pandemic that's been going on since time immemorial. I mean, this is the longest pandemic ever. And there's been no cure. What do we do? We got to wear N95 or a KN95. Well, actually, I got to read this article to see. Oh, no, it says right there N95. Still the most N95. Wear your N95s, everybody. All right. Okay. And, wow. This is a whole. Okay, this says. I want you guys to see this. This is the bio of Guinness Pig, _pig. Comedian and writer who brings you. Hashtag mask hole clapbacks because hashtag COVID is not over. Hashtag COVID isn't over. Asterisk satire /humor/entertainment. Just so you're not clear, this is supposed to be satirical, but it's not because COVID is a deadly serious disease. So it's not actually, it's serious, but it's funny serious. Okay, you got the old YMCA here and he's like, stranger, why are you wearing a mask? That's the stranger would be somebody like me saying that. And then me, meaning Guinness Pig, says, young man, don't you be such a prick. I said, young man, really don't be a dick. You know, COVID, it can make you so sick. There's a way you can avoid it. Dun, 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 dun. That's why you put on your mask. All right. That's super gay. All right. It doesn't work to be funny and serious at the same time. I mean, I guess it works in some ways to apply a little levity to the crippling anxiety you're giving people over their hypochondriac tendencies and whatever fears, you know, they may have about catching a cold or disease or something like that. You know, you're just basically freaking the fuck out of people. But then you're kind of making it fun. You're like, oh, it's okay. There's a way to not die if you do this thing. And it's all fun and games. Just don't die. All right, yeah. Anyway, I guess we should wrap this up. We're going to wrap this up. This last thing I want to share was this article. A hardcore singer accused of dosing bandmate with estrogen in attempt to steal his fiance. It is, we have decided to part ways with our vocalist Diego due to admission of very disturbing and concerning behavior toward one of our band members and their partner. He has admitted to being obsessed with said partner and has been attempting to sabotage their relationship by cutting pre-workout he frequently gifts from his job with high amounts of estrogen in them. He has been attempting to force a transition onto him for the last 5 months in hopes that would give him the opportunity to swoop in once he looks stronger and more manly in comparison. And in parentheses, stupid caveman mindset that makes zero sense. This tampering has caused confusion and thousands of dollars in medical bills the past months trying to figure out what's wrong. We would not have known any of this unless Diego had gotten himself way too intoxicated and ousted himself. Oh, okay, so Diego got super drunk and said, I'm putting estrogen in that motherfucker's pre-workout because I want to get titties and I want to be a little bitch and I want to come in. I'm a fucking good girl. I'm going to be the man. He's going to be a little bitch with the estrogen. I'm putting estrogen in thing. Okay. I'm putting estrogen there. I'm going to put it. Like, what a thing to like rat on yourself, right? You're fucking okay. So for 5 months, he was getting estrogen powder and getting this pre-workout powder and then combining it and being like, yeah, all right, okay, this is my plan. So you had to have hatched this plan. Like, this is my plan. I'm gonna get this estrogen powder, turn him into a woman. And when he's a woman, I'm gonna swoop and take it. On some level, I think he deserves props, I guess, for the creativity, the perseverance, just the balls, the wherewithal, the balls to shrink his friend's balls to get his girl, right? Isn't that what friends are for? To betray them at any cost, right? To drug them, make promises you can't keep, make them lose money, stuff like that. That's what friends do. But if you take that out, take out the bro code and all that stuff, that's just a guy that's really going after you. Is that what it takes? That's what it takes, man, in this day and age. Tinder, all that stuff, the swiping, dopamine rush of everything, that's what it takes, okay? So get out there, get after it. Thanks for listening.